Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. The eyes which do not look at the symbolic representation of the personality of Godhead Vishnu, His form, name, quality, etc., are like those printed on the plumes of the peacock, and the legs which do not move to the holy places where the Lord is remembered are considered to be like the tree trunks. Purport. Specially for the householder devotees, the path of deity worship is strongly recommended. As far as possible, every householder, by the direction of the spiritual master, must install the deity of Vishnu forms like Radha Krishna, Lakshmi Narayan or Sitaram, specially, or any other form of the Lord like Narsimha, Varaha, Gornitai, Matsya Kurma, Shaligram Shila, and many other forms of Vishnu, like Trivikrama, Keshava, Achyuta, Vasudeva, Narayana, and Damodara, as recommended in the Vaishnava Tantras or Puranas. And one's family should worship strictly following the directions and regulations of Archana Vidhi. Any member of the family who is above 12 years of age should be initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, and all the members of the household should be engaged in the daily service of the Lord, beginning from morning 4 a.m. till night 10 p.m. by performing Mangalarti, Niranjana, Archana, Puja, Kirtana, Shringara, Bhoga, Vaikali, Sandhya Artika, Patha, Bhoga at night, Sayan Artika, etc. Engagement in such worship of the deity under the direction of the bona fide spiritual master will greatly help the householders to purify their very existence and make rapid progress in spiritual knowledge. Simply theoretical book knowledge is not sufficient for a neophyte devotee. Book knowledge is theoretical, whereas the archana process is practical. Spiritual knowledge must be developed by the combination of theoretical and practical knowledge, and that is the guaranteed way of attainment of spiritual perfection. The training of devotional service for a neophyte devotee completely depends on the expert spiritual master who knows how to lead his disciple to make gradual progress towards the path back home, back to Godhead. One should not become a pseudo spiritual master as a matter of business to meet one's family expenditures. One must be an expert spiritual master to deliver the disciple from the clutches of the pending death. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has defined the bona fide qualities of a spiritual master, and one of the verse in that description reads, Sri Vigrahara Dhana Nityanana Shringara Tanmandir Marjana Dao Yuktyasya Bhaktam Chaninjo Topi Vande Guru Sri Charnaravindam. Sri Vigraha is the archa or the suitable worshipable form of the Lord, and the disciple should be engaged in worshipping the deity regularly by Shringara, by proper decoration and dressing, as also by Mandira Marjana, the matter of cleansing the temple. The spiritual master teaches a neophyte devotee all this kindly and personally to help him gradually in the realization of the transcendental name, quality, form, etc. of the Lord. Only attention engaged in the service of the Lord, especially in dressing and decorating the temple, accompanied by musical kirtan and spiritual instructions from scriptures, can save the common men from the hellish cinema attractions and rubbish sex songs broadcasted everywhere by radios. If one is unable to maintain a temple at home, he should go to another's temple where all the above performances are regularly executed. Visiting the temple of a devotee and looking at the profusely decorated forms of the Lord, well-dressed in a well-decorated, sanctified temple, naturally infuse the mundane mind with spiritual inspiration. People should visit holy places like Vrindavan, where such temples and worship of the deity are specifically maintained. Formerly, all rich men, like kings and rich merchants, constructed such temples under the directions of the expert devotees of the Lord, like the six Goswamis, and it is the duty of the common men to take advantage of those temples and festivals observed in the holy place of pilgrimage by following in the footsteps of the great devotees, Anuvraja. One should not visit all these sanctified pilgrimage places and temples with sightseeing in the mind. But one must go to such temples and sanctified places immortalized by the transcendental pastimes of the Lord and be guided by the proper men who know the signs. This is called Anuvraja. Anu means to follow. It is therefore best to follow the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master even in visiting temples and the holy places of pilgrimage. One who does not move in that way is as good as standing tree condemned by the Lord not to move. The moving tendency of the human being is misused by visiting the places for sightseeing. The best purpose of such traveling tendencies could be fulfilled by visiting the holy places established by great acharyas and thereby not being misled by the atheistic propaganda of money-making men who have no knowledge of spiritual matters. First of all, I'd like to offer my obeisances to Srila Vyasadeva, who is the compiler of the wonderful Srimad Bhagavatam. So I should have offered these prayers before chanting the verse for today, but let's do it nevertheless. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Sarswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyate Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation once again. The eyes which do not look at the symbolic representation of the personality of Godhead Vishnu, his forms, name, quality, etc., are like those printed on the plumes of the peacock. And the legs which do not move to the holy places where the Lord is remembered are considered to be like the tree trunks. Hare Krishna. So thank you, dear devotees, Prabhus, Matajis, for allowing me to be here with all of you in your esteemed association, and repeat the words of our founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada. So I beg the blessings of all the Vaishnavas present here, all our Guru Parampara, so I can speak something for my own purification. And in the process of doing so, if something comes out good for the benefit of others, I would consider my preparation and my speaking a big success. So thank you so much. So I was hearing a lecture by Srila Prabhupada on this wonderful verse, and Srila Prabhupada started speaking, saying that how the peacock's plumes, you know, they have these, they look like an eyes, but they're not really an eyes. So similarly, the so-called eyes we have, if they do not appreciate the beauty of the dhams, do not appreciate the beauty of the deities, and if they do not appreciate the beauty of the devotees, they actually have no use. These eyes are just a material eyes which cannot see anything. But if we, on the flip side, really start to appreciate the beautiful form of Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman, Sri Sri Gaur Nithai, and the beautiful decorations, the dresses of the deities, the paraphernalia, then these eyes are perfect in that sense, actually. And Prabhupada goes on to explain that how the Mayavadis particularly imagine various kinds of forms. They say, let's imagine, and Prabhupada speaks in this particular lecture about the Pancha Upasana, that how they take Durga, Shiva, Ganesh, all these various personalities. Let's just imagine for time being these forms. Until you come to the level where you understand it's all Brahman, and then you can forget about them as well. So it's quite interesting how Srila Prabhupada goes on to explain that, okay, you start with imagining something, but come to a point where you do not imagine anything actually. So, but whereas Prabhupada gives, I really appreciated the analogy Prabhupada gave that how the Mayavadis explain that in order to get to a particular point, they take the ladder, a wooden ladder, Prabhupada says. And once they get to that particular point, they leave the ladder. And then they say that, okay, similarly, Prabhupada says similarly, they ask you to imagine a form. And once you have come above the Pancha Upasana, they think no need to imagine anything. You merged actually. Just forget about the Pancha Upasana. Whereas our process of Krishna consciousness is, Prabhupada quotes Brahma Samhita, Advaitam Achutam Anadim. He says that the Lord's is infallible. He never falls. He's beautiful. He's all attractive actually. And he has so many different forms that we can't even begin to count the number of forms Krishna has. So, and he's not emanated from, it's not that, okay, something is coming out of him that he's finished. No, he's still the complete whole, as Ishapanishad, right at the beginning mentions that he's complete whole. And everything which is emanates from his is also actually complete. So, nor does he become old. Always Navayovanam, he's always fresh, always beautiful, always very, very attractive. Recently, I've been reading from Srimad Bhagavatam in my daily readings at home about the beautiful pastimes from the 10th canto of Brahma Vimohan Leela. And there Brahma explains in his prayers that, Lord, you're so, so beautiful, that your form is so transcendental. And then he obviously admits his mistake he made thinking the Lord of just anybody else, by trying to steal the calves and the cows and all the various cowherd boys actually. And then he realizes that the Lord, his pastimes of playing with the children, eating the tiffin of the children and, stealing the tiffin from the children, they were nothing but the majestical, beautiful pastimes created by the yoga maya. And he comes to that conclusion immediately in that whole pastimes that what a mistake have I made. And then he realizes that I'm only one Brahma of a one universe. And he's telling Krishna in the last few verses, he's saying, I'm only one of those Brahma from one of the universes, Krishna. And you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I was really appreciating how Srila Prabhupada has actually introduced this process. And when I came to the temple today, was observing and looking at, taking the darshan of Radha Gokulananda. And I was thinking, if I was not introduced to Srila Prabhupada, his books, the Vaishnavas, the Krishna Prasadam. But more importantly, as we come here and see the temple, where in the world will you be able to come out, come through the door, that beautiful door like that, and start to come in an environment where you are smelling a beautiful incense, where you're really appreciating this beautiful dress of Radha Gokulananda, Sita Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman, Shishi Gaunitai. And not only that the whole beauty behind the devotees who have been dressing the deities in the morning actually. So much of appreciation and gratitude comes for Srila Prabhupada because he gave us this beautiful process of Archana Vidhi. Of course, in various other times, Prabhupada has given us, he speaks about many things, the Archana Vidhi and the Bhagavat Mark and how the Bhagavat Mark is important. And I was hearing a lecture by His Grace Radhisham Prabhu, the great genius from Pune Temple. And he was saying that Srila Prabhupada said that the holy name is enough for us actually if we chant the holy name with all sincerity. However, there are two conditions in that. And one is that if we do not make an offense while chanting, and second is we are not attached to the material sense gratification. So he goes on to explain that the Archana Vidhi or the worshipping of the deities actually helps us overcome those material tendencies. And Prabhupada has one time spoken that how sometimes by decorating the deities, we forget to decorate ourselves. And that's the perfection of our life. But otherwise, a lot of times, I spent a lot of my time in front of the deities, combing my hair. Even when I'm putting the tilak, my tilak has to be superb straight. And, I'm trying to look my best actually in front of, which is nice. As a Vaishnava, tilak is an important element. Of course, it should be done properly as Prabhupada told. However, sometimes we just look at our, and we think, oh great, I'm looking so handsome, I've got the dhoti kurta, this is so nice, and you know, this is so wonderful, I'm appreciating my beauty. But when we come to the temple or the temple in the home, and when we do abhishek like I do in ekadashis of our deities, it's so nice, the whole process to put nice kirtan of Agnidev Prabhu and just do the deity worship. It's so, so, that 1 or 2 hours of my day is really transcendental. You can feel it. You can, you know, as you prepare for the abhishek, you bring all the paraphernalia, you bring the water, you bring the tulsi. Every touch of your body to this transcendental paraphernalia is so, so uplifting. I don't know if you ever noticed, when you engage in the deity worship and you try to chant straight after that, your chanting is of another level altogether. Because there is certain amount of purification which has taken place already by touching the paraphernalia of the lordships, of the deities. And it makes such a big difference to our life actually. And then Prabhupada was explaining in the lecture that our business is actually to go to the temple. And if we do not, then we are like trees. And he was quoting that if we do not move, and then he started talking about Vrindavan, that Vrindavan is a place where there are 5,000, more than 5,000 temples, he was saying, Prabhupada, in the lecture. And everybody, every Brajavasi in the Vrindavan temples is seeing Radha and Krishna. In the morning they get up, their first business is to freshen up, take shower, and run to the temples to take darshan of the lordships. They're running from one temple to another. I remember specifically when we were living in Jaipur, we used to go to Radha Govind Devji temple to take darshan. And then the Brajavasis, I would call them Brajavasi because they have a beautiful bhav. They sing the bhajan, you know, Main Tumhe Nilane Aaya Hoon, Bade Prem Se Na Ho Manmohan. They sing this beautiful Hindi Brajabhashan, and then they say, you know, I've got Makhan Mishri, Main Tumhe Chakhane Aaya Hoon. Chakhane means you want the Lord to taste the Makhan Mishri. Bade Prem Se Chakho Mere Manmohan. And then immediately, because the timings are such, like after every sort of 15 minutes of Radha Govindji, Radha Gopinath opens. So some of them run on their cycles and the bikes to get to Radha Gopinath. Then they go to Radha Damodar, and then there is Radha Vinodi Lalji just next to the Radha Damodar temple actually. Very beautiful deities. So like this, the bhav of these Vaishnavas living in the Gupta Vrindavan, which is Jaipur, and then of course Vrindavan is something to behold. Especially as you stand there in the aarti, sometimes it's, of course, you're looking at Radha Govindji, but it's nice when you turn around and look at these Brajavasis in Jaipur and or any of the temple in Vrindavan and just try to see their mood. I mean, it's so absorbing and captivating that it's so, so nice, actually. So Prabhupada was saying that in this particular lecture, that in the West, we have this tendency to show off. Like he was quoting that how the young girls, they want to be naked. So Prabhupada said, fantastic. And he was saying that, okay, you be naked, then you get a body of a tree and you stand there for 10,000 years actually. So there is no desire which cannot be fulfilled. The only choice we have to make is, do we want to cultivate material desires or do we want to cultivate spiritual desires? And we hear from our acharyas that all spiritual desires get fulfilled. And it's quite amazing how they do, you know. In the nicest way, even though there may be a tinge of sense gratification, but as long as it is a spiritual desire, it'll get fulfilled. I'll share an example. I was in Jaipur again, and we were to go to Radha Vinodi Lal, very nice devotee there, that pujari from Gauriya Vaishnava, very, very nice. And I was taking the darshan of Radha Govindji, and we were going to go take darshan of Radha Vinodi Lal and take prasadam. And as I was taking the darshan, just after the darshan, I was thinking it'll be so nice to have some nice kheer and puri sabji like that. You know, some particular sabji was coming in my mind. And as I went to Radha Vinodi Lal, boom, exactly the same menu as it was in my mind right there actually. So I thought, wow, that was fairly quickly done, you know. So imagine what would happen if I say that, oh, my Lord, give me some intense absorption and appreciation towards your form in the Archa Vigraha. Let me come closer to your devotees. Let me serve your Vaishnavas. And imagine what will happen. But often these desires don't come to my mind. But one day I hope they do. And that would be so nice. So Prabhupada was saying, this is the life of Vrindavan, you know, simply visiting, moving from one temple to another temple. And then he was saying, a little singing is going on, devotees are singing, the Brajvasis are dancing in Vrindavan, the atmosphere is so much surcharged with spiritual emotions that it is much easier to then follow in the footsteps of those devotees. Whereas he gave an example that how the forest is surcharged with sattva-gun, mode of goodness. Then Prabhupada goes on to explain that the cities are surcharged with tamogun, you know, mode of passion. Sorry, rajogun. And then finally, he gives an example of the liquor shop, of the bottle shops, how they are surcharged with the mode of ignorance. And then finally, Prabhupada says, but these temples, which have been created, they are pure sattva. They are Vaikuntha. They are spiritual world. And more so, I mean, we can appreciate Bhaktivedanta Manor, this abode of Radha Gokulananda, because Srila Prabhupada has actually himself walked with his lotus feet, have installed these beautiful deities. And it is said, where an acharya get involved with the pure devotees, install the deities, that place become even more significant and pure actually. So it is our real privilege to, in some form or other, to be associated with this Bhaktivedanta Manor temple in any form, in any seva we can get here. And every time we walk this place, there should be such sense of gratitude and appreciation that if Prabhupada was not here, where will I be today? As I was driving in, I was thinking, wow, you know. And I was remembering Malti Mataji's class she gave one time, many years ago. And she was explaining that our eyes do not have that spiritual vision. But as you walk through the driveway of Bhaktivedanta Manor, there are gems, there are jewels. It's all studded, but we can't see them. And this is the appreciation these devotees have, Prabhupada, disciples for Prabhupada, because Prabhupada walked these places. He went to Bari place. He installed Radha Landaneshwar. And these deities are so, so, so beautiful, actually. So the more, like my Guru Maharaj says, what you appreciate, appreciates. So if we increase our appreciating capacity for this spiritual paraphernalia, the Archa Vigraha form, the deities of the Lord, the Vaishnavas, then our life will be full of appreciation. And very soon we'll be able to overcome our tendency to envy others and look down on others or think low of others actually. So, and I was really thinking about this. So the more we can put our attention, another quote he gives is that, attention is nectar and distraction is torture. And I was thinking about it because especially when we are chanting the holy name, if we are able to absorb and give our attention to the holy name, then it is really nectar. Whereas if we are distorted or we are not attentive, then it is a torture actually. It is a real torture to us, to the holy name, to Krishna, who we were trying to get some personal attention from the Lord. So putting our attention in the form of appreciating the deities. And then finally, it is amazing how Prabhupada says that one should visit Vrindavan. And it's very appropriate because these days, I've been thinking about how I can appreciate my capacity to appreciate dhams like Vrindavan, Mayapur, and how I can also introduce these dhams to others all over the world. In some capacity or other. And it's so appropriate that I was given this verse to prepare. And I was thinking that how Srila Prabhupada carried Vrindavan all over the places. Wherever he went, he was thinking of Vrindavan. He was never separated from Vrindavan. And especially to the point when he was preaching in the West, you know, many times he was asked the question, you know, Prabhupada, don't you miss Vrindavan? Of course he misses Vrindavan, but he says Vrindavan is here where because I'm following the instructions of my spiritual master, that's Vrindavan for me. And that's Vrindavan consciousness actually. And a lot of times I myself was driven, you know, I would love to live in Vrindavan, but my spiritual master told me, I asked him the question that I have this desire. He said there are two things to consider when you're moving. One, it's moving in itself is difficult, he said, but the two aspects, one is the association and the second is the seva. So he said that it's nice to have the desire and one should always cultivate the desire to live in Vrindavan. There's nothing wrong in that because Prabhupada, our scriptures, our Shastra is telling us we should. But the higher principle of living in Vrindavan is actually mentally living it through the seva bhav, through serving. And he goes on to explain that when you are trying to practice Krishna consciousness sincerely, he said that, and trying to take some responsibility to spread the movement, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will always keep you in the mood of Vrindavan. He will always keep you in the mood of separation from Vrindavan, from Mayapur Dham, from Jagannath Puri Dham. And especially as you're going about doing that service, and when you make a visit and take time to go to Vrindavan to absorb yourself, always keep seva in mind. So I remember the last few yatras we have been, it's such a privilege actually. Just before you even go, you absorb yourself for 2 weeks of reading about that particular dham. We have group sessions and we read about the dham before we go to the places actually. And we hear so much about the dham. And then once you get to the dham, everybody is given a seva before you arrive actually. On the first day, your sevas are dedicated. So I remember I gradually got promoted in my services as I was in the dham. So first year I was made Khaja King. While we were in Jagannath Puri, you get a Khaja Prasadam, right? So I was given a title Khaja King to arrange Khaja Prasad for everybody, liaise with the Pandas at the Jagannath Puri temple, get this beautiful green color boxes for everyone and do it in such a way that it is done just a day before or something. So it's fresh, although it's, you know, Jagannath Prasadam stays fresh forever. And that was quite amazing. I thoroughly enjoyed that service. And next year I got promotion. Then I was given the service to take care of the book distribution in the yatra. And I remember it was such an amazing atmosphere that you're hearing and chanting and there is some seva in the dham. And I was thinking, how would you distribute books to the dhamvasi? You know, how does that work? They're all brajvasis here. They're all in love with Krishna. And then I was explained by Madhavananda Prabhu, you know, Srimad Gaurgovind Maharaj's disciple who resides in Jagannath Puri, that actually it is the highest principle to come to the dham and give what Prabhupada has given us. And it's quite amazing, the devotees traveling from America, they each divided and each one of them almost was carrying at least 100 books of Srila Prabhupada in the Odian and Bengali and Hindi language. And I was thinking, wow, look at this. The Vedic tradition of India, the books which came from India, they went to America. Then they got printed in America and they were brought back to Jagannath Puri with Jagannath stickers, lollipop prasadam or many other things which we were distributing. And it was a sight to behold. They were like 20 Japanese, 10 people from China. They have no idea of the language they're doing. It was such a nice organized yatra that we have these cards. Language cards. And they had Odian language. In Odia, when you ask somebody donation, it says, Kripa Kari Dan Din. That's what we say. You can all repeat after me. Kripa Kari Dan Din. So that's what you say when you give somebody a book in Jagannath Puri. And I was like, wow. So every morning, my service and another devotee service, Shri Shri Radha Gokulanand ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Gaunitai ki jai. So the service I was given was next year was to make bags of the books, Jagannath stickers, lollipop prasadam, and give it to the devotees and hand the bags as they leave. That was my service. Then come back, count the Lakshmi and things like that. And just to see these Japanese devotees coming from Japan on the street as we are going on Harinam, we would walk to the various thalis and the devotees will be so much, in bliss. And they would have this language cards and they would be giving out the books and it was such a nice atmosphere. And then we go to a place, then we hear from Madhavananda Prabhu, my Guru Maharaj, about that Tota Gopinath or various other places, appreciate the deities, then come back, have prasadam, then again 2 hours of hearing and chanting. It was a sublime process actually. And we discover so many things you learn from the Brajavasis. And this is something that's so nice and we try to follow now every year we go. One time we were watching my Guru Maharaj giving a book. As he was giving the book, this Brajavasi from Jagannath Puri, he was at the threshold of his house. And Maharaj handed over the book and he said, no, wait. And he came out, he threw his shoes off and then he left his shoes. And then Maharaj said, wow, what a gesture. And then Maharaj took off his shoes and then there was an exchange. And then just few minutes later, we were like, you know, few hours later, I think that last day this happened and we were traveling to Mayapur and we were at the station of Jagannath Puri boarding the train. And then I saw 80 people taking their shoes off with another 80 people when they were talking. There was such an, I took a picture of that actually. Everyone's shoes were off. They were barefoot trying to give the books. And there was such a nice mood, you know, in the whole dham. So I learned that when you go to Braj, have some seva in the mind. That's the perfection of going to dham, actually. Whether it is cleaning the nidhiban or cleaning Radhasham Sundar or standing at the gate and handing out a book or a flyer of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, serving prasadam. Same goes the principle while we are here at the Bhaktivedanta Manor, but specifically as Prabhupada talks about going to Vrindavan. If our mood is to appreciate Vrindavan, it's the nice way to appreciate Vrindavan or any dham for that matter is through the service actually. And when we serve, then the gates open up, the mercy starts to flow and amazing things starts to happen in our life actually. So in conclusion, I would like to say let's take advantage of these wonderful Vaikuntha-like temples Prabhupada has given us. These beautiful scriptures which teach us the path of Bhagavad Dharma and also Archana Vidhi given by Narad Muni to us. It is such a sublime process. And Prabhupada says that it is a very simple process. But we can sometimes miss it. It may be simple, but it's not easy. There is a difference between the word simple and easy. Simple means that you put it as in, it's there, you follow, it's a systematic process Prabhupada has given. You start at a certain point and you reach to a certain point. Easy means, I'm hungry, somebody has plated a nice prasadam, I didn't have to get up and the prasadam is right there. So, that is the difference. It may be simple, but we should never understand it to be an easy process. It is a difficult process, but as long as we are not crooked and we are trying to follow it simply and nicely, and we understand our limitations, and we beg the mercy of the Vaishnava for the mistakes we make, then the Vaishnava hearts open, and we start to really appreciate what's been given to us. I've also been reading a beautiful book by Sitala Mataji, Prabhupada's disciple, called The Glorious Life of Narottam Das Thakur. And it is such a book. It is for me, it was a revolutionary book. The way it's been written, it's so captivating. And the whole mood of Narottam Das Thakur, how much he wants to run to Vrindavan. His mother is crying. His father, Krishnananda, is crying all the time. What am I going to do with you? You want to run to Vrindavan. You're my only prince. You're my only life. And he's not able to sleep in the night. And the parents are going crazy. What am I going to do? And then Narottam Das Thakur is trying to explain them that. And they're bringing tantrics to try and treat Narottam. And he's saying, don't do all this. I'm mad after the love of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I want to go to Vrindavan. I want to serve the Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami. They are very, very life. And by reading the lives of acharyas like Narottam Das Thakur, I mean, it's phenomenal. Look at their mood when he gets to Vrindavan. He's saying that, I don't even deserve being in this dham. What am I doing here? And he's talking to this wonderful Vaishnava who's having this vision when Narottam Das Thakur is describing the pastimes of Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu. The whole story is like so mesmerizing. I mean, I was so captivated. We are reading, we have started a little book club with the children and we kind of doing this and it's so enjoyable that whole experience of reading about Narottam Das Thakur actually. And I was thinking, wow, I wish I had the same desire, same appreciation, the same gratitude Narottam Das Thakur has towards going to Braj, going to Vrindavan. And then he goes, then he meets Jiva Goswami, he faints, then he meets Narottam Das Thakur, Lokanath Goswami behind the bushes, he again faints. And then he's thinking, Sitadala Mataji writes that, my God, this is a culmination of my very existence, of what I was told, that this is that personality who I will take shelter and he's right here. And look at this personality. His clothes are torn. He's emancipated. There's hardly anything. And then he's asking Jiva Goswami, why are the acharyas like this? And then again, Jiva Goswami explains that Lokanath Goswami is still feeling the separation for the Lord because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, stay in Vrindavan. I'll come and see you. But what happened? He could not, that is called enthusiasm. He couldn't wait and he left when he heard that Mahaprabhu is going towards, I think it was South India and he left. And then later on he got the news he's in Vrindavan and then he ran back to Vrindavan and then he realized he's left Vrindavan and gone back to Jagannath Puri. And Lokanath Goswami never could meet him. But because the desire and the intensity was so strong that Mahaprabhu appeared in his dream and he said, Lokanath, you stay where you are in Vrindavan. You do your bhajan. You serve me in the mood of separation actually. And then Lokanath Goswami was saying, this is my glorious spiritual master. I want to develop the same mood. And then he develops the same mood, serves Jiva Goswami with Shamananda Pandit, Srinivas Acharya, who are pioneers of the book distribution, who are the founder Acharyas of the book distribution of the Gaudiya Sampradaya, actually really taking the books wide and far and distributing them, actually. So I'm very grateful to Srila Prabhupada, to my spiritual master, to various acharyas, to all the devotees who allow us to walk this holy dham of Bhaktivedanta manner, to give us some service, even though I have so many faults and anarthas, but the devotees are very compassionate that they allow me to serve here in some menial way. So I'm very grateful to all of you for dedicating your life to Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas. So I'll stop here to see if anybody has any comments or any questions. And while we are talking about the principle of appreciating the our acharyas and the way and the deities and everything, it all comes from the transcendental literature of Srila Prabhupada books. So I have a little gift for all of you, and this is for your altar. There are five very nice, well, all books of Srila Prabhupada are important, but these five books are nectar of Krishna consciousness. And this is like a traveling altar we can have, or if you have an altar, you can place these beautiful cards in your altar and worship these books of Srila Prabhupada. You all are worshiping it by reading and studying and by dedicating your life anyway to it. But I'll pass this, Sankirtan Priya Prabhu, if you don't mind passing this to the devotees. And Mataji, if you can, pass it on. If there are any spare left, you can give it back to me. And we can give it to the other devotees. So any comments, questions, or reflections? Yes, Prabhu. Okay, sure. Mic. Do we have a mic, Prabhus? It'd be good. Thank you. Just Jai Krishna Prabhu, just at the end.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu. Very nice class.
Thank you.
So regarding, you were talking about visit in the temple. So when we first come to Krishna consciousness, we're very eager to come to the temple, Bhaktivedanta Manor. You were mentioning how you were driving in. But after a period of time, you know, coming to the temple, we tend to maybe some way keep away from the temple. Maybe we have some kind of preconception. Oh, I don't want to bump into this devotee who's at the temple. When it's a festival, it's overcrowded, it's manic at the prasadam time. So, you know, and you were explaining how you were enjoying doing your kind of deity worship and Ekadashi. So sometimes we have this, at least for myself, not to come to the temple and just be at home. I got my deities, I got my books, I got Krishna, I got the... And then we don't want to come and we keep away from the temple. I was just wondering if you can just help us understand. And
sure, that's a very nice point, Prabhu. I mean, coming from you, I don't know how will I answer that, but all I can say is, Prabhu, that the principle of seva should be regarded the highest principle. My spiritual master says, your seva will save you. So what that means is that when you are trying to think about some barriers or the troubles or some conditioning we have in our mind, if we think that my only savior is the service to the Vaishnavas and my spiritual master, and taking that principle as the highest principle in the mind, we should then still be able to walk to the temple. I may be thinking, oh, I'm going to have to face this person or face this devotee, but let it be for the service of my spiritual master. Because let me say Hare Krishna if I can, or at least let me go and do my service in the best possible way I could do. The other point to also consider is, Prabhu, that when we are trying to make progress in our Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada has made it very, very clear that we may have our own deities, we may have our own temples, but really the local temple or the closest temple should be the center of our activities. That should be given the priorities in all cases, actually. Even I remember speaking to His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrit Maharaj, like, as a principle that we may decide as a certain standard of doing an aarti every day at our home, for example, or a Gora aarti, or whatever aarti. But if there is a festival going on, or if you happen to be at the temple, that takes precedent. And if you've taken the aarti, you've done the aarti of Gaur Nithai. In principle, you've done the aarti of the Gaur Nithai at your home and your deities as well, actually. So the main principle is somehow or other to try and serve Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda, Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman, Gaur Nithai. That's why coming here, sometimes we may think, okay, Abhishek is at 10 o'clock, Harinam goes out at 11:30, Prasadam is at 1 o'clock. I think I'll just somehow land in 5 minutes before the Abhishek, see the Lord and go. But as I was hearing Radhisham Prabhu, he was saying that watching Abhishek is such a transcendental activity of the deities. Just being there in the presence, we are not even sure what's happening to heart, but the Shuddhi or the purification is already happening when we are sitting and the Kirtan is going on our ears and we are watching the deities being worshipped actually. I was reading in the life of Narottam Das Thakur, he was sad. He was arranging the Keturi festival. It's so beautiful. Everything is so nice. Janava Mata is coming. Everybody is coming. But he was thinking, oh, I don't have the very nice deity. We have new beautiful deities of Mahaprabhu. And you know the pastime where he went to this person who has them where the snakes are there and all these places. But and the guy is saying, don't go in. You won't be able to come out. Narottam Das Thakur, no, I need the deities. My Lord told me the deities are here. He's there. I'm going to go in. And he goes in and he brings the deities out. So the point I'm trying to share is, Prabhu, that somehow or other we have to solace ourselves that if I stay and be limited to what I'm thinking, it is all at the mental platform. But if somehow or other, if I make the effort, it's like when I go for book distribution, I'll be honest, Prabhu, I do like to go, but a lot of times I think it's cold. What are the people going to say? Is somebody going to smash the door at me? I go through all the fears all the time. But my Guru Maharaj gave me a tip. He said, keep your bag ready, have at least few books in it and the prasadam. The moment you put your bag, which is ready, on your shoulder and put your one foot outside the door, Mahaprabhu will give you the mercy and you'll be able to go ahead. So it's just a matter of having that little courage and going to that far, and then Krishna arranges. So it's that first little endeavor somehow or other we have to take. And that endeavor will come when we serve the Vaishnavas, Prabhu. Bhagavatam says, right, what is that verse that when you, it's not coming to my mind, that when you serve the Vaishnavas, all that which is troublesome to you, you know, in the bhakti process, it just completely goes away actually. Tada rajas tamo bhava, all that which is all the tamo and the rajogun, that goes away, you know, just by serving the Vaishnavas. So service is the highest principle, I would say, Prabhu. I hope that answers. Sure. Yes, Prabhuji. Can we have a mic for Prayojan, Prabhu?
Okay, I just want to give an example really through Mother Kalangana, when she was going to the dam, and certainly in Mayapur, she befriended so many people there, of the devotees there, and they all grew to love her, and then they were saying, oh, you must stay, you know, we'll look after you, and then you can do service here, teach us this and teach us that, and afterward, she came back. She felt, oh, I'm being asked by the devotees. It must be Krishna calling. And then when she came back here, I think it was Pankajanri Prabhu, she said, what shall I do? You know, they're asking me to go to Mayapur and serve there. I think it's somehow Krishna speaking, and that I should move, you know, from the manor. And then actually with the two Mayapur twins, they don't always answer straight away, but then they ask you a question, and they said, "Where's your service? Where is your service?" She knew exactly what they meant. Her service was with Radha Gokulananda. It was already here.
Yes,
she didn't have to move to Mayapur. So he was from Mayapur, but he was asking her that question.
Beautiful.
So it was a nice way of giving her the understanding that where her deities are. You know,
beautiful.
And her service is. Yeah, so she didn't have to move here, there, or anywhere.
Absolutely.
As long as, like you were saying, the service is the principle. And
thank
your
you.
Deities. Okay.
Thank you, Prabhu. Stane Stita. Speaking of that, I remember I was hearing a lecture of my Guru Maharaj, and he was quoting Prayojan Prabhu. He is saying that there is a Vaishnava in Bhaktivedanta manner. Whenever I go, he's always looking blissful. And he was saying that's Prayojan. I was like, wow, that's amazing, you know. Just a little impression of a Vaishnava when you meet. My very good friend who lives in Vrindavan, he used to tell me, when you meet a devotee, if you're not smiling, there's something wrong with you. You're not following the process properly, actually. So the devotees are always joyful, and they give you the joy to carry on and doing what you do in Krishna consciousness, actually. Chandra Chaitanya Prabhu? Yes, last one, Prabhu, so we can end on time. Just,
yes. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for a wonderful class and for being so instrumental in inspiring the devotees in going out and touching the pavement. Your whole family is so glorious, and you are right, this temple is absolutely unique, especially out of India. It is probably the best one. If I were a first time visitor coming through the gates of Bhaktivedanta Manor and seeing all the wonderful temples, gardens, goshala, the wonderful devotees, the Gita walk, the pond, I mean, where could you find such things? So obviously, yes, we must perform some seva. We must be very grateful for this wonderful gift that Srila Prabhupada has so very kindly given to all of us, not only for us, but for future generations as well, the wonderful 10,000 years to come. So, yes, we must be grateful, and we must serve the devotees, the lordships, very nicely. Thank you very much for your service.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Prabhuji, it's not a complaint. It's just one thing I don't understand is, there's no photograph of a small four beetles, you know, who donated this
please
temple.
Thank you for the feedback, Prabhu. Yes. I'll take this to the senior management team. It's a very nice feedback. It's
complaint.
A genuinely nice feedback. I mean, they've dedicated their life, and it is there is a plaque there, Prabhu, but photograph is a good point. We should find a place somewhere in the temple to honor them. Thank you, Prabhu. I'll put your request to the senior management.
People, you know.
Sure.
Who has donated this.
Of course, we'll do
Thank
that.
You,
so just one quick announcement. We have started a new program every Sunday. We meet at 1:55 p.m. in the Atma room in Haveli, where we do 10 minutes kirtan, 40 minutes of reading from Srila Prabhupada's book. We have started with Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then we do one round of japa together as a devotees, as a japa circle. And then we go out for book distribution for an hour, either Watford, Stanmore, Edgware, or Harrow. These are the locations. So, feel free to join us any of the Sundays. You will see me there, at least me or other devotees, Kesha Gokul, Ananda Prabhu, Vrindavan Chand Prabhu, a few others. We're all with Chandra Chaitanya Prabhu. So join us. It's a nice program because, you know, hearing, chanting and book distribution, they go together. Hearing, chanting is like dal, Yamuna Mataji says. And going out and book distribution is like a rice. So when you put together, it's like a khichdi, you know, which has much more nutrients than just eating the dal alone or the rice alone, actually. So on that note, I thank you all very much. And I'm grateful to all the Vaishnavas, grateful to Shruti Dharma Prabhu. I was thinking of him this morning. He said that, he repeated so many times, we have given so many lives to ourselves. Let's give this one life to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.